Welcome to the Happiness First Radio Show, where you learn to consciously create the life you want. Your host, Lorraine Gordon, an expert in law of attraction and present moment awareness, along with her expert guests, give you the tools you need to focus your attention and thoughts to create your best life. And now, here's your host, Lorraine Gordon.
Good afternoon and welcome to Your Happiness Way Radio with me, your host and online coach, Lorraine Gordon. And if you're a regular listener to this show, you know that the information and the expert guests that I bring you is to help you create a happier and a more love-filled life and a more abundant life in every way, including all of the material goodies that you want. You may know, if you've been listening to me, that I do love my material comforts, but I teach and I stand by. I have been with them and I have been without them. They do not bring happiness. Happiness is the beginning. It's happiness first, then the riches will follow. And I want to thank you for making this show as successful as it is, because you have helped bring this show into the top 10% of its genre and keep it there. And I know that your time is valuable, and I want to thank you for spending it with me and all the experts that I bring you. I am giving away a free booklet to help you find love. It's called Find Out What Men and Women Want in a Relationship, and you can get a free copy of those guides on my Facebook page. And it's Facebook/ Your Happiness Way. And today, I am really excited to be bringing you an expert in soul language. Her name is Jennifer Arezio, and she is a master intuitive. She's an author, a teacher, and a speaker. And she helps people connect to themselves, to each other, and to the divine. She founded Soul Language, which provides guidance for understanding your true nature and tools for accessing deeper levels of awareness. And without waiting any longer, I'm just going to bring her on. Jennifer?
Hi, I'm so excited and so lucky to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm so lucky to have you. You know, I think what you're saying is very, very interesting, because it's sort of telling people to be true to themselves. Is that not kind of what understanding your soul language is?
Yeah, it's about not only being true to yourself, but acting on that essential nature and remembering at every moment that you are always whole and complete. And when we do that, and we also have to treat everyone like they're whole and complete as well, what happens is this life of bliss and happiness. Are there going to be times where you kind of get off your game? Of course. But your main consciousness is a one of neutrality, which means that doors are open for you left and right.
Let's just back up to the very beginning when we talk about what soul language is. I mean, you're talking about, I read something interesting on your webpage where you say you spent years fighting the system and trying to live by other people's rules. And so what I'm getting from that is when you discovered your soul language, you were more able to live by your truth?
Yeah, you know, I'm a renegade. And so the people that I serve are also renegades. And a renegade is never going to do it like anyone else does it. They also feel that there's something huge inside of them. And well, often we've been taught to try to fit ourselves in a box, kind of denying our essential nature. And when you have tangible words, which soul language does for people, to put to your essential nature, it allows you to accept it in a bigger way. And throughout that acceptance, you can kind of run your own show.
Okay. So how do you figure out when you figure out what your soul language is, does that mean you have a better understanding of how to communicate your truth, or does it make you more comfortable in your own skin?
it makes you all of the above, actually. It allows you to put into words what your truth is. It allows you to express it more freely and feel safe doing so. It allows you to understand when you're utilizing all of your gifts and talents for yourself or in struggle. It actually allows you kind of a tangible way to create a profound connection with yourself, with whatever you call your higher power, whether that be tree, Bob, divine, God, doesn't matter, and therefore with everything else on this planet.
Okay, so I want to ask you a couple of questions that'll bring this into language that a lot of people who may not understand esoteric language quite as well as you do, I want to bring it into very simple language. So let's talk about a person that is maybe unsure of where they're going in this world or what they're doing, and they learn their soul language. How does that change their life? How does that, give me an example of how that impacts their life.
Well, I'll give you a very tangible one, my personal example. So there are three core energies of soul. One of the core energies is called tone, and that's really about how our soul prefers to go through life. My tone is called graceful warrior. At most of my life, I've been at war with everything, you know, feeling like I needed to fight for everything I got. When I understood about that core energy, that language of my soul, what I really understood was all of the grace, all the unlimited, all of the courage that I have, and how I didn't really have to start or at all fight for anything that I wanted. What I allowed myself to do was kind of accept that warrior nature of myself, which I denied most of my life. And when I did, I remember the exact moment I was having coffee with someone, and I was like, yeah, I've got warrior nature. And he turned to me and went, that's really cool. And I went, oh my God, look, I accepted that. And what that resulted in my life was, when I accepted that, was more supportive relationships. I actually allowed people to start helping me instead of the I can do it warrior attitude.
Oh, so you were you weren't necessarily being a warring with others. It was the strength in your warrior attitude?
Well, when you're at war with yourself, you're at war with everything in life. I remember being on the beach fighting with I was fighting with the beach chair, and my nephew went, Aunt Jen, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm fighting with myself. And he's like, who's winning? And I went, no one's winning, Eric.
Now, isn't that interesting? Was that a slip when you said, I'm fighting with myself, when you were fighting with the chair? Was it a slip?
Of course. And, you know, I mean, you know, out of the mouths of babes, right?
Right. But it was out of your mouth. The babe heard, it.
Right. And he reflected it right back at me.
Cool.
And, you know, your inner life is really, you know, your outer life is a reflection of your inner life. You know, so in corporate America, I would ask people for a pen. Can you pass that pen? They'd be like, why are you so defensive? And I'm like, really? Because I just asked for a pen. And yet my team in corporate America loved me because I would stand up for them, and I would, you know, always be on their side. They knew that I always had their back.
So in other words, once you realized that that was a good quality and you embraced it, it started working for you rather than against you?
Of course, because I was in profound acceptance of who I was, and that's what happened in my life.
Ah, okay. Instead of fighting who you are, embrace it. So let's say a person who's shy, who's very shy, maybe they're inhibited, or they're, what's the other word for a person who is outgoing and another person who isn't? I'm forgetting those.
Introvert.
Okay, they're an introvert. And they've been told all their life that being an introvert isn't a good thing, which, by the way, with Jungian psychology, that's not at all true. But let's assume that that's how they're feeling. What would be an example of their tone nature?
Well, you know, I mean, there's 55 different tones. So let's just give an example.
It's something that would make them comfortable with themselves.
You know, let's just example that, you know, there's an introvert, and their tone or their soulful personality is called connoisseur.
Connoisseur.
Okay. Connoisseurs are all about acceptance. So we would work together to profoundly accept this inner, you know, this trait of being an introvert, and really understand, you know, what blessings it has in their life, what blessings they offer others in their life so they can accept it. So then they can attract individuals that support that. I'm personally an introvert. I love it. And I have a dear friend who is also an introvert, and we'll be spending the day together, and all of a sudden I'll be like, okay, I'm done. She's like, you're done? Your outside time is done. I was like, yeah, I got to go home. And it could be like in the middle of a conversation, and she's so cool with it because I'm so cool with it.
Yeah, but I'm an extrovert, and I can be the exact same way. It can also just be that I'm tired and I've had it, or I'm done with it. And I consider myself absolutely an extrovert.
Right. But again, that's my personal example of it. Right.
Right.
And so when you have this profound acceptance as a connoisseur, you know, if you're in non-acceptance of anything in your life, that is also going to be projected back at you. So in that case, we would accept that introvert quality and talk about how it's a blessing in your life, how you can utilize it to create more blessings in your life, and how do you want to showcase it?
Okay, great. So how do you know that you are not speaking your truth? And how does soul language help you know that?
There's several ways. You know, a very physical way is one of the ways that you always get sick. It is the first place in the throat. That's a good indication that you haven't been speaking your truth for years.
Sore throat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another way is that you feel like you're constantly holding back, that you're swallowing your words.
I have friends actually who seem to gulp or swallow as they talk. It's very hard for them to get it out.
Yeah, that might be that they're not speaking their truth.
Right.
You know, another way is that you're constantly complaining that nobody ever hears you.
Oh, now that's interesting. So that's an indication of what?
That you're not probably speaking your truth.
When you feel you aren't being heard.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very interesting. So, and I'm going to use myself as an example. Often, I used to feel as a person in a restaurant, I was not being heard by the waitress. Now, this could very possibly be the waitress in general, I'm not sure. But I would order something, and I would order it a particular way, and often it wouldn't come that way. And I would just think, my gosh, what do I have to do to be heard? So when I was asking for a medium rare steak, I was pretty much speaking my truth. That's what I wanted. How would that relate to me under those circumstances?
Well, it could be that you are actually speaking your truth and that's really what you wanted. But the truth is that you deserve to have what you want, right?
Yep.
And there could be that conflicting belief inside of you, that very sneaky belief that goes, yeah, no, I don't really deserve what I want. And the way that it could be sneakily expressing itself is through ordering your food.
Isn't that interesting? Okay, so everyone out there, if you're getting medium well and you ordered medium rare, maybe you don't feel you deserve your steak the way you want.
Right. And that might just be the way it's showing up in your life, right?
But that's
that could
fun.
Also be showing up in huge ways.
Oh, of course. So that would certainly be an example, simply an example of a feeling of not deserving. That's great. I like that. What a terrific insight that is. I don't know that I necessarily personally relate, but I think it's a great starting point when people are venturing into soul language, everyone. And for all of you that found that interesting, and gosh, I would think a lot of you would, Jennifer is offering you a free discovery session where she helps you identify your soul language. And she'll set that up via phone or Skype or whatever. And you're going to be able to get that by going to the page you're using to listen to this radio broadcast. It could be Blog Talk, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you found it. You're going to find a link that'll say free gifts, Jennifer's free gifts. And you just click on that and you will be able to get that from her. And that was a very generous gift. I want to thank you for that, Jennifer. That's terrific.
Thank you. I love doing them. They're so much fun, and it gives people really tangible tools to start to change their life by connecting to themselves.
That is really, important. I can see how this could actually work. So let me ask you this question. Why is it so hard for people to speak their truth? Why do people find it difficult? But it should be such a natural thing, shouldn't it?
It should be such a natural thing, but we're actually not taught to do it, right?
Ah, we're not taught. Uh-huh.
You know, especially highly intuitive people, especially highly innovative people.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah, well, oh, because it's different than it's the different. Norm.
Okay. Right. Right. We're taught to fit in.
Right? Uh-huh. Right.
You know, and so you can get conditioned not to speak your truth. Also, anyone who's had an experience where they said something that was true for them and somebody about anything and someone in a position of power might have told them that they were wrong.
Right.
And, you know, as a little peanut, that can leave a lasting impression on someone.
Mm-hmm. So true. And so one of the ways that they would know that they're not speaking, sometimes people think they're speaking their truth, but they're not, because they don't really know themselves. So that's pretty common. One of those ways would be a sore throat or a throat problem, as you just said, not speaking your truth. Right?
And any problems with
vocal cords or
with vocal cords and what's the little thing in charge of all hormones? It just went out of my head.
Pituitary.
Pituitary and the thing in the neck.
Thyroid.
Thank you. Thyroid. Any thyroid conditions.
We're funny. We have to fill in each other's words today.
And I appreciate it. Any women with thyroid problems, it goes back to not speaking their truth.
Is that the case? Really? Okay. Now, how did you find that out? Is that something that's just known in the, you know, book of wisdom, metaphysical wisdom?
Well, I have to give credit to thank you to Louise Hay.
I was going
to
say, with that word.
You know, and
thyroid problems are thyroid not problems. Speaking yeah. your truth,
yeah,
really.
You know, and I speak my truth on it. And we're talking about big truths, okay? We're talking about knowing that you're enough, knowing that you're whole and complete, knowing that you're loved, knowing that you're. These are big truths, which, you know, all of those little truths will lead back into that big truth. But I started taking singing lessons several years ago. And, you know, my thought was, I just want to, at the end of the day, because I'm talking, I just want to not lose my voice. I want to know how to breathe better.
Right.
Yeah. And I took some private classes, and then I took my first group class, which was five people who already wanted to love me. And I got up on stage, and I had a panic attack. I couldn't sing. I couldn't. I was so locked up in my voice and so afraid of rejection, which is another reason why people don't speak their truth. Because they think that they're going to be rejected for it or not loved.
Right. Yeah, and that's why people don't offer their opinions. Well, that's the same idea, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and people who have a big message, who want to be of service in a big way, this is, you know, this is really important for them to feel safe speaking their truth.
You know, this is interesting because I relate to it. I have always had that big personality and fought it for years and years and years. When I really couldn't fight it, it just crept out. No matter how much I tried to suppress it, just crept out. And it really wasn't until I saw that I had this quality because I have a message, because I'm supposed to convey the message, then I was able to accept it and just be okay with it. But before that, even though it really was me and I was behaving that way, I didn't like it.
Right. And that's sneaky. And that's the worst kind.
Oh, it was awful. It made me feel terrible all the time, because especially when you try to be smaller and you can't, it just bubbles out and then you feel, you know, embarrassed,
yeah.
just embarrassed.
Yeah, there's that push-pull, that kind of tug-of-war within. And, and you know, understanding that core energies or the soul languages of your soul supports that, because you finally realize, like, wait, I've actually chosen all this? Wait, this is for my greatest good? This is what I want? Wait, this has been, like, sanctioned and approved by me? Not me with ego, but the higher me who knows that this is for my greatest good? That's pretty powerful. And that allows you to kind of know that, wow, you know, there's a new sense of giving yourself permission to be your great self.
Right. Right. It just makes everything better. So how does soul language help a person with that? I mean, when I figured that out for myself, I hadn't taken anything called soul language. It just came to me, I guess. Of course, I've been studying this stuff since I was a wee little thing. But aside from soul language, I mean, how did you find it out?
I asked big questions. I mean, and that's how I received the information for soul language. I was like, okay, God, that's what I call my higher purpose. Mm-hmm. I know what my life purpose is, powerful healer and teacher of service in the spotlight. That's groovy. What do I do with that weird little title? And where are my people? Because I'm really pissed that I'm alone. And I went to this conference where I was speaking about essential oils and life purpose, and this person sat down next to me and went, we're going to be friends. And I went, yeah, why her? And not this other person across the way who looks really nice, but I don't care if I ever see them again. What is that? And what I heard through guidance, downloading, channeling, inspiration, whatever you want to call it, was that soul language. And I went, okay.
You're soul language connected. Or yeah, you had the same or complimentary, or how does that work?
We spoke one of the same soul languages.
One of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I recognized her, and she would tell stories. And I was like, okay, I know the details are different, but that's exactly the same thing that happened to me.
Okay. Now, what about that person that you really feel like you're snarling underneath it all, and you have no idea why?
Well, that could be a whole bunch of combinations. It could be one of those soul languages that are here to kind of polish your diamond. Mm-hmm. And normally that has to do with core energy of your parents. So I would hire these assistants and I would identify everyone's soul languages that have anything to do with supporting me. And I would keep hiring a soul language called the negotiator, which is a mission language. And my mother emailed me one day. I saw that. She's like, I signed up for a session with you. I was like, Mom, I can't do a session with you. I'll identify your soul languages, and then we can briefly talk about it. But you're my mom.
Right.
And so so when I identified her soul languages, she's a negotiator. And I kept hiring all of these negotiators trying to work out mommy issues with them, thinking, oh, wait, they'll help me create a new deal for myself. Yay. No, I was just trying to have my diamond polished. And when I realized that I kind of worked on the issue, you know, internally with my mom, and the relationship changed in a better way. We've always been close, but it grew and expanded. And then I didn't have to keep hiring negotiators, which actually would let me down, because that's kind of what I was looking for them to do, right? I was working out my problems with them instead of being really, really willing to be supported. So there's a couple of reasons. You know, they're here to polish your diamond.
So polish your diamond, for those of you who may have never heard that, that means sometimes friction or discomfort is what we actually need in order to get clearer or to get even better. And that would be called polishing your diamond, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, sometimes those relationships, those friction relationships, are more powerful than the supportive relationships.
Well, and most of us had those things growing up, didn't we? I mean, one way or another.
And you're here to kind of heal them or expand in them. And what better way to do that with those energies that have caused those frictions to begin with?
Wow, this is interesting. I've got such a better take on soul language. And Jennifer did my soul language. She gave me that free discovery session. And today, if I were to do it today after listening to Jennifer on this show, I would get a whole lot more out of it. So I really urge you, people listening, take advantage of that offer, because you will learn a lot. And on that note, we're just going to take a couple of moments for my sponsors, and we will be right back.
Have you ever imagined a life without worries, fears, and problems? What if I told you that you no longer had to live like that? Changes are possible for you through my teachings and affirmations, CDs, DVDs, and apps. Through our book, Peace in the Present Moment, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and I can show you how living in the present moment will change your life. Visit my website, peaceinthepresentmoment.net, and get inspired on my Facebook page of over 73,000 likes.
The power of the I Am is yours at loaaffirmations.com, bringing you the very best in audio affirmations programs, and introducing our newest title, I Am Happy, Healthy, and Wealthy. All of the loaaffirmations.com programs are MP3 instant downloads and come with multiple audio and subliminal tracks. Order yours today at loaaffirmations.com.
Okay, back again with my expert guest, Jennifer Arezio. Jennifer?
Hi.
Hi. This has been really interesting. I'm having a great time. And if I'm having a great time, that means the listeners probably are too.
Yay.
So let me ask you a question. We're talking a lot about speaking your truth. A lot of knowing your soul language has to do with being able to be authentic and speak authentically. What would the first step be for a person to feel safe and speak their truth?
Well, I think one of the fundamental steps is actually knowing what your truth is. And so if everyone wants to play a game with me, and you can ask this next question until you're not here any longer on this planet.
Right.
You're always going to get a deeper answer. So just take a deep breath if you're driving. Listen to the replay on this.
Right.
So just take a deep breath. You're going to focus on your tailbone that grounds and centers you. And I'm going to ask you a question, and whatever you hear, feel, or sense, you're just going to want to jot down. So the question is, what is the one thing you want to experience and everyone to experience on this planet? So again, what is the one thing you want and everyone to experience on this planet?
I don't understand that question. You said, what is the one thing I want and ever want?
And everyone. You want everyone to experience.
Oh, okay. Ask it now again, please.
What is the one thing you and you want everyone on this planet to experience?
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Lorraine, if you share your answer with me.
Love.
Perfect. So I love that answer because that's what I got too.
And there, maybe you sent me the answer and I picked it up.
Well, there are big themes. And so when everyone gets those big themes, they can tend to move into, oh my God, that's so general. What am I going to do with that? Okay. But that's your truth. That's part of your truth. So you want to experience love and you want others to experience love.
Right.
So simply, anything that creates that non-feeling of love, you are going to feel like you're not speaking your truth.
Oh. So anger would make you feel bad because it's not necessarily coming out in a loving way.
Right.
Resentment.
Yep.
So if love is your thing and you're a warrior and you're warring against other people, even
it's
though
kind of,
being
yeah.
a warrior is your soul language, it still doesn't feel good. So I don't get it.
Right. If I do it with non-judgment, it feels fine.
Say again, explain that. Warrior with non-judgment. Oh, in other words, you're a warrior. Oh, I get it. Okay. So you have a belief, but you're not telling anybody else their belief is wrong.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, teacher.
Right. So, you know, and here's the simple thing. Love, that feeling of love within me creates this feeling of wholeness and completeness. So anything I do, feel, or express that I judge is going to create separation in me.
Mm.
And I'm going to feel like I'm not speaking my truth.
Mm.
It's a very simple and yet very complex idea.
Very.
Okay?
Very.
So the complexity comes in practice. So now that everyone has a better understanding of what their truth is, you can start to create very simple questions. So my question that I get to ask myself in everything is this going to create feeling, knowing that I'm loved, or is this going to create a feeling in me of separateness?
Mm, okay.
And if it creates a feeling of separateness, I simply ask myself, what do I get to be, do, and feel in this situation that will remind me that I am love?
Okay, so let's use some actual examples. Can you speak from your own life and use one of your examples?
Of course.
Please do. Let's talk about it. So would love work for you?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, so tell us the situation, how you went against it yourself, and then how you righted it.
Beautiful. Okay, so I got a text the other day,
mm-hmm.
very current situation, from a friend of mine that I was doing some favors for her. And she sent me a text. She's like, can you do blah, 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 blah? And the first reaction when I got that text was...
Resentment,
annoyance.
You're clear, man. It comes right across the wires.
Right, a little bit, right? I'm like, all on my face, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, wait. What am I making up here? That's just not true. So I paused, I breathed. And the second thing everyone wants to do, which is very easy, is just say this statement. And it's divine intelligence, fill me with the knowing and the consciousness that I am safe. And you'll feel everybody go, oh, just a little. And after I did that, I went, okay, what's the loving thing to do, be, hear, say for myself and for her? And I simply wrote, texted her back, I'm really uncomfortable about doing that. And she's like, she texts me back, may I ask why? And I went, of course you may. And I told her. And she went, oh, okay, not a problem. Already taken care of. Now,
what did you tell her? What was your, if it's not too personal?
Oh, yeah. I said, I haven't been doing that. And if I do it that way, I'm actually going against my boundary. And she's like, oh, yeah, sure, not a problem.
Okay, now that worked for you. But can I give you an example of something that happened? Since I've got a very big Facebook following, or it's getting bigger by the moment, I get some weird stuff. I get some really weird stuff. So yesterday, this man says, thank you for being my friend. And I said, you're welcome. Thank you, too. You know, I try to be polite and answer. And then he said, can you help me find a girlfriend? And I wrote back and I said, no, I'm sorry. That's not what I do. And then he said, yeah, but I do need some help. I really would like you to help me find a girlfriend, find a woman. And I wrote back and I was feeling annoyed at this point and a little creeped out, too. And I said something like, sorry, once again, that is not my job and that's not what I do. And then he insisted once again. And I blocked him.
Love it.
He definitely pushed my button. But I was feeling annoyed, irritated, aggravated, put upon, the entire gamut. So what would have been a good way to not bother feeling those feelings? But I was aware of them as they came up. Very, very aware. And so let's talk about soul language from that standpoint.
Sure. So we identified your tone as the investigator. So you like to pull things apart and investigate them and understand how the human mind works by investigating everything.
Okay.
So the first question that after we kind of...
Oh, that makes me a good radio host, doesn't it?
Totally. Right. But it also, you know, you also want to be, you're also a big service here, right?
Right, definitely.
So then the first question after we filled your body with safety would have been, with the frequency of the consciousness of love for yourself and for him, right?
Right.
After you answered the first email, what would be the response after?
Oh, you mean after I first told him that wasn't my job?
Right.
Well, actually, what I did say to him afterwards, and at this point was a little bit of coming from anger. I said, I don't even know you. Why would I? And therefore, I cannot suggest a woman to you. And then he pressed beyond there, and then I blocked him. Right. But I don't know that that was coming from service. That was coming more from annoyance.
Right. So in total service of you.
Oh, total service of me.
What would have been?
Blocking him one question sooner.
Exactly.
One answer sooner before I went into striking out with a slightly angry answer. That would have been better. Yeah.
That would have been better.
I get it.
For you, right?
Yeah,
and in the long run, better for him.
Right. Right. Because, because he may have felt slightly hurt, regardless of whether or not it was the truth.
Regardless. And he's pushing a boundary that doesn't need to be pushed, right?
Right.
Obviously, your what you offer and what he wants aren't lining up. You're not a resource for him.
Exactly. That was interesting. How interesting. So my tone is I was the good investigator. What else did we find out about me?
Well, we just did your tone.
Right.
So, right. So the unconscious investigator for yourself, right? Because it all starts at home. Is that kind of investigating so much, trying to get to the bottom of something that you don't know when to let something go.
Aha, that's true. I can push a point to ad nauseum.
Right. And so
and it's exhausting. Jennifer.
It's exhausting for you.
and for so, the person who might be listening.
Right. And so what you get to do is ask yourself, right, ask your soul to kind of give you a signal that the investigating's done before it gets to a point where you're exhausted.
And exhausting the other person. And namely my darling, sweet husband of over 34 years, Harry.
So it might be just as you might just get like an inner alarm, or the anger and the frustration for you could be a signal that you push the investigation too hard.
Okay. But strangely enough, it always comes up like, well, but this is the crux of the matter. And it makes so much sense at the moment, but there usually is aggravation there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's probably because that person or that individual can't possibly go down the road of investigation, right? Especially in this case with the Facebook guy, right? Any kind of, in quotes, normal individual would have been like, yeah, no, Lorraine doesn't do that. Like, and it's inappropriate.
And it's inappropriate. You're one of three, you're one of 7,000 friends or 8,000 friends, and you're, that I don't really, really know, and I'm going to find you a girl? I don't think so. This is not a date. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, part of you goes, come on.
Like, appropriate.
Like, you know, and investigators do have that little bit of warrior energy, right?
Uh-huh.
So the warrior goes, really? Come on.
In other words, we want to bang them around just a little bit, right?
And yet your kind of what your truth is love.
Definitely.
And in a sense, there is that tough love. So another question that we always get to ask ourselves as warrior energy is tough love needed here for myself and here for another? Because sometimes it is in your greatest good to take out your sword and go, no.
It's true. And also as a teacher, because ultimately that's what I am, is I'm a teacher. I help to transform people through knowledge. I do it in both ways, in a gentle, nurturing way, but also a very tough taskmaster,
yeah.
You know, at times. So, yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes the tough taskmaster is needed for yourself in order to promote a good boundary that you go, no, that's inappropriate.
Right. Right. And as a teacher, sometimes it's needed to really be clear with a student as to how they may be veering off in the wrong direction and how to bring them back onto into their path.
And I would
and
say
it's clear. It's right. So clear, you know.
Right. Like you go, you don't need to investigate that. Like that's not part of, like, stop the investigating over there for yourself because you're being distracted.
Ah.
It's another really great source of the investigator for others going, yeah, that's not where the investigation lies. You're actually utilizing that as a way to distract yourself or take you off your game.
Mm-hmm. Avoidance. Right? And a lot of students will use avoidance to not get to the meat of the matter and then wonder in the long run why they didn't get there. But I'm happy to say I have some really terrific success stories. Most of my clients really do well. But that's because I'm a tough taskmaster. If they're not willing to do it, I just make them do it, and then they do it.
Well, it's also because what you're offering them is the truth of love, right? So the truth of love is always going to allow that space to create something new rather than do old patterns. And that's what, you know, that's when we get off track. That's what we're doing. We're just trying to keep ourselves in the illusion of safety because it's what we know.
And that brings us to change, even though change is not necessarily something that you and I spoke of in regards to this interview. But how would soul language help people with that most feared thing in life that is always, always, always happening, and that is change? Changes are happening all the time, and people have a hard time with it.
Yeah, it's so funny because we're doing it all the time.
Yeah, you can't help it. It's just going to happen.
What I think that understanding your soul or having a deep connection with your soul helps you to feel is know that you are safe no matter what. That core is safe.
Uh-huh.
And that allows you to weather any storm. It also gives you what I call a sacred practice. And what sacred practice does, that connection does, it allows you to have a foundation. So no matter what's happening, you're coming back to that foundation of feeling loved, feeling safe, knowing you're supported, knowing you're protected, whatever words you want to use. It's a core of what you said at the beginning, that, you know, having stuff is great, but it's an outpicturing of the core of happiness within, right?
Right, exactly.
So knowing that essential self allows you to have that foundation, that structure, that core of I'm enough, I'm safe, I'm supported. And that is priceless as far as I'm concerned, because that outpictures everything else in the world.
Don't you think the other thing about change, see, I love change because the way I look at it is most people that are coming to me are coming because they're looking for a change. They're looking for a specific change in their life. And yet they aren't going to get that specific change until other things start moving around and rearranging. And if we look at daily changes, at changes that are happening all the time, often that could be the little change that could be leading you toward what you want. You may not realize it.
Right.
It could be something you think is awful, like a flat tire, which will cause you to stop in front of a sign that you need to see in order to, I mean, it happens in the strangest ways. But we have to be able to embrace the possibility that change is ultimately for our good and bringing us in the direction that we're trying to get to.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because I think the foundation of what we get to kind of embrace is that everything in our lives is supporting us and for our good. And, you know, change falls into that. And, you know, often people are just waiting for the big ticket moment, you know, the golden ticket. And, yeah, there are golden ticket moments. But I think that real transformation comes and real change to a person's life, it comes because there are all these little golden ticket moments that people don't realize. There's no such thing as an overnight sensation at all. It's a building up. And understanding your essential self, connecting to your essential self, allows you to be on that ongoing path of change with this kind of great, big
Tether to safety.
or a giant umbrella going, yep, I got it. And understanding and consciously co-creating and coming from a place of choice. You're making choices all day long. Let's make a conscious choice based on what you desire, what that kind of truth is, rather than on programming or autopilot, which we often do.
Yeah, well, which we mostly do. And my mentor, Deepak Chopra, says you think you have free will, but until you get past that knee-jerk reaction or autopilot, as you just said, you do not have free will. You have to get conscious in order to activate and use your free will. Is that not true?
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, I think free will is simply your choice to determine, you know, whether you want to understand that you are whole and complete or whether you want to believe or project
that
you're separate.
Right.
You know, and every choice is that. Again, very simple theory, very complex to practice.
Very complex, because that's a big, scary thing to take responsibility for yourself. Does that mean if I'm not a victim, does that mean that I'm sitting here in my little unhappy hovel or hole, I could actually choose to get out of it? And then how do I do that? Now I've got to do something instead of just feel like a victim, right?
Right. Yeah, and you know,
that can be very in your face.
It can be very in your face, and also people can use that to create a lot of judgment for themselves as well. You know, like, oh, great, I'm here. What did I do wrong? Instead of just simply going, okay, I'm off the mark. Mm-hmm. Where do I want to bring myself back to mm-hmm. knowing the essential mm-hmm. self? And, you know, there are so many different paradigms. Soul language is a great paradigm. I can say that because all I did was listen. To help you feel whole and complete, to help you know you're whole and complete. You know, I listened to Deepak's 21 Days of Meditation of Success, and he said something about success, and I went, oh, and I just started laughing. I was like, oh, I forgot about that.
Uh-huh.
You know, we all need daily practices and daily remindings that what we want to know and experience here. And we need those connection techniques and tools. And for renegades like me, we need to change those tools, and we need to kind of upgrade them. And I do the practices every day consciously, but there are practices that I change up. For example, you know, I do pull a card every day.
A card from what? From what deck?
Oh, I have this lovely deck called, it's about trees, and I love it.
And there are words of wisdom on one side or something like that?
Yes.
And it's your words for the day or something to contemplate.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I'll notice a pattern. Like there are cards in this deck that I've never seen. And I laugh because I'm like, oh, God keeps wanting me to know the same thing. Okay, I'll accept it now. And then there are days where I'll also include meditation, or I'll sing, or I'll journal, or I'll dance. You know, a sacred practice only works if you're actually doing the sacred practice.
It's just like those face creams you keep buying, ladies. Unless you take it out of the drawer and use it, they're not going to get rid of your wrinkles.
No, yeah, it's not by osmosis. You know, and that's why I love soul language, because it's tangible, and it gives tangibility to soul. That's something so intangible, and it's a living, breathing entity. So it grows. You know, every time I identify an investigator or a graceful warrior, the entity, the language definition changes a little.
Oh, does it?
And it's updated.
That's interesting.
I mean,
yeah. Well, sure, because it's a new time. I mean, this is a new time, and this is a new time, and this is a new time.
And not only that, but I can only experience, you know, your tone investigator through
where you're at the moment.
Right, through soul language. And mm-hmm. I'm never going to embody it. Only you can. So an investigator might say something, I'll go, oh, wow, that needs to be added to the definition, because I've never known that, because I haven't physically experienced that, because I can't, because I'm a graceful warrior. So it's fascinating, and it allows people a deep way to really put to words what they know deep down inside.
Yeah, it sounds really fascinating. Yeah. And once again, I want to urge all of you listening, if you're finding this interesting, go ahead and click on the free gift that Jennifer is so nicely offering you, so that you can find out what your soul language is. And you'll have a great background after listening to this recording or this show, and a better way of utilizing it. So I think this is really, it's useful, and it's fun. It's like opening up a fortune cookie, but it's got instructions on where you go from here. Right? Jennifer?
Yes, I have to keep going.
I thought I lost you there for a minute. I want to ask you a question. In your definition, what is a renegade? You say you keep referring to yourself as a renegade. Describe exactly what you mean by that.
Yeah, I mean someone who's never going to do it like anyone else. Someone who doesn't want to ever be put in a box. Highly innovative. Highly intuitive.
Somebody who also fights against the norm.
Well, yeah. I mean, we do like structure. You know, my perfect example for me is when someone goes, oh, you're going to love this. I go, yeah, please don't tell me that, because I'm just going to rebel about that. You know, and someone who is on the forefront of new things. My people are doing some amazing, amazing things for humanity and of service. I'm so lucky.
Now, when you say your people, you're talking about your students?
I'm talking about my community, people who've had their soul language ID done, people who are practitioners, people who are just in the renegade community, people like me, and people who I serve. I'm much as a student as I am a teacher. So, mm-hmm. You know,
to be a good teacher, I think you have to maintain, constantly be the student, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I mean, like, I learn from everything. So that's how I defined a renegade. And I think renegades are one of those people that have felt sometimes like they've never fit in or have had a home because they've, you know, someone
kind of a lonely place then, a renegade at times.
Yes, mostly it has been until you find your community, and then it all starts to hum. You know, recently I was called, someone called me, "You're very quirky and I love it." And I thought, am I? Okay, great, I am, you know, and I am.
So self-acceptance has come along with your soul language.
Yeah, I think it has to. Yeah, I think if you're going to embrace the aspect of who you are, acceptance is your best friend.
So I want to ask you to tell us a little bit about your book, because we're getting close on time, but I want the listeners to know a little more about your book, although there will be the book will be listed right here on the listening page. But explain it to us. Tell us a little bit about it.
So it's all well, there's not, it's not everything you need to know about soul, but it's, you know, it's the basics about soul language. It includes the 107 different languages of soul. Every book comes with a discovery session, so you can utilize the book. There's several ways to use it. I often use it as a deviation tool. If I need to, like, what do I need to know today? And I just flip open the book. You can utilize it to gain information about yourself, about others. It's massive. And what I hear from people is that there's a lot of it, of information in that book between the lines. And what it's done is it kind of opens up a deeper understanding, or allows people to awake to a deeper level or a new level. So it's a lot of information about how soul language works, the three different categories of soul language, and then the 107 different languages. So you can also play with it, like, I wonder what my languages are. I wonder what my husband's languages are.
Oh, so it's fun. It's fun. It's sort of like when you get excited about getting an astrology book or something like that. You can figure out how you pair up with others and what your basic urges are and how they really begin to make sense to you.
Yeah, and anybody that, you know, also is in a service-based business and has clients, you can also play, I wonder what my clients' soul languages are. And then you can also see the theme of who you kind of collect. You know, one of the languages that I collect in people are pioneers. I love pioneers. I surround myself with them. I've dated pioneers. They fascinate me. I have fun with them. And I give them the space just to feel free and know that they're safe. So it becomes a, oh, I recognize you, and I recognize what I love about you. And I also understand what I'm putting into the relationship with that person. And then I can feel more supported and also be more supportive to others.
Right, right. That sounds wonderful. So you can get information on Jennifer's book from me. And Jennifer, is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with? Do you have anything specific that you'd like to tell?
Yeah, I want everyone to, even if it's just a little bit, to remember more and more each day how whole and complete they are.
That's a beautiful message. How whole and complete you already are. In other words, you don't need fixing. Let's accept ourselves as whole and complete. Thank you. You couldn't have ended your part of the show on a nicer note. I want to thank you for being here with me. You have a lot to offer, and I would like to invite you to come back again so we can continue with soul language. And for the rest of you listening, I know that you want to be happy. I know you want to enjoy peace of mind. And I promise you, you can begin to be happy, and you can enjoy all the things that you want in this life. You deserve to enjoy your life and to feel confident and secure. You've gotten a lot of valuable information on this show and other shows that will help you make happiness practices simple. But to make the practices stick and make them work for you, you have to start with a calm and peaceful mind. And to that end, I'm giving you a free guided meditation that will bring you into that place of peaceful clarity. And that's the only place that you can choose happiness. A quiet, peaceful mind is where you have access to higher wisdom and inspiration. So go ahead, go to my website, lorainegordon.com. That's LORANEGORDON.com. GORDON.com, and just click on Lorraine's Gifts, and you'll get that downloadable meditation, and you'll also receive my ebook on visualization, Your Key to Happiness. And I want you to fill your days up with uplifting and inspirational information. That's how to have a great and happy life. You can add to your happiness by helping others so that they get inspiration too. Your comments under the show can cause somebody to listen to this show and receive a bit of information that could change their life. It's good karma. Go ahead and make a comment. And your comments also help me to bring you more of what you want. You can follow the show to get advance notice, and this way you will not miss an episode. Once again, I want to thank you for giving me your time. This is Lorraine Gordon. I'm your online coach. I see you having your best life. You need to see it too and make it a reality. I'll be back with you next week, same time, same place. Namaste and bye for now.
You've been listening to Happiness First, The Rest Will Follow with Lorraine Gordon. She'll be back next week with another great show. And to learn more about Happiness First, visit LorraineGordon.com. That's LorraineGordon.com. Be sure to subscribe and receive some fantastic free gifts. Lorraine wants to bring you more of what you want, so please make a comment on the show page here. Or you can email her at Lorraine@LorraineGordon.com. And thank you for listening.